Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Sports podcast, where we talk history of the game, numbers and stats. And each week we highlight a charity that's doing good. If you haven't subscribed yet, then you should. Because I'm this the real deal. And you know I gotta shout out the Buffalo Bills. Turn it up to the max. Sit back and relax. This the Buffalo Nerds Sports Podcast. Let go.
Hey, what is up, Bills Mafia? Welcome into this episode of the Buffalo Nerd, your home for Buffalo Bills football with a charity on top. Brought to you by SB Nation on the Buffalo Rumblings podcast network and is being served up to you live by Picasso's Pizza on the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast network. Treat yourself to the most flavorful pizza on game day. Picasso's, we are Buffalo Pizza. Shipping local and nationwide. Order online at picassospizza.net. I'm your host, Colt Schroeder. If this is your first time checking out the show, thank you very much. If you're already part of the Nerd Mafia, welcome home. As you can see, I am joined, if you're watching, you can see I'm joined by a guest this week. You may know him as a high school champion football player. You may know him as a podcaster. You may know him as a long-form writer that runs GoLongTD.com, or you may now know him as the best-selling author, Tyler Dune. How are you doing, sir?
What's up, Colt? How you been, man? Great to be back with you. And I love how you started with the high school football days. So clearly we have some Section 6 Class D, you know, alum here to join us. Maybe from rival Randolph, maybe Maple Grove. Things might have to get physical. We'll see what happens.
I love it. Yeah, I like throwing that stuff in. I remember chatting with you because those folks that don't know about GoLongTD.com, if you sign up for that, you do get some extra cool, fun things that you get to do where you get to go and hang out and do some Friday hangouts and stuff, some live things. And you hear some cool, interesting little facts like that about said Amazon best-selling writer, Tyler Dune. So how's it feel when people say that now?
Man, it was a year. I'll tell you that. Like, taking on a book project was unlike any experience, really. I mean, I've been writing features and profiles for a long time. That's really why I launched Go Long, to just zero in on that, cover football through a long form lens, kind of zag away from a lot of the stuff that's out there. But you know, a book, even as a collection of exactly that, it's an experience. You know, I really wanted to just go balls to the wall in every possible way, travel around the country, hang out with Mike Ditka, be right at the bar with Jeremy Shockey, with Tony Gonzalez, Ben Coates, talk to Kittle, Gronk, Ozzie Newsome. I just felt like to do this right and tell the story of pro football in the best possible way through this glorious position, you got to be there if you care, right? So it was a labor of love, a passion project, whatever you want to call it, man. It was just an unbelievable experience that I'll never forget.
Yeah, I mean, you can see I have it behind me there. It's dense. It takes a read, right? It's like 325, 350 pages or something like that. You know, there's 15 chapters or so. And I mean, I subscribe to what you do, so I like reading the longer form stuff. I read your stuff all the time, so I love it. It's a dense book. You got to be ready to sit down and learn. And there's some cool stuff in there. But before we get too deep into the book and highlight what's coming up this week, I do want to highlight the charity that you chose this week, which is going to tie us into the book a little bit, right? But why don't you go ahead and let everybody know why you chose the IronManFoundation.org to highlight this week, specifically Project 44.
No doubt. And thanks for the opportunity. You know, one of the conversations that probably stuck with me the most, maybe number one at the list, is Dallas Clark. And it's incredible what he's been through. I'm sure we'll get into a cult, but his life, everything from losing his mother, Jan, in his arms when he's a high school senior. I mean, that really kind of set the tone for Dallas Clark's life. It could have gone one direction or the other. He gets to Iowa. He redefines the tight end position as basically being more Rudy than Rudy himself. It's insane what Dallas Clark went through, from the depths of the linebacker depth chart and mowing the field at Kinnick Stadium and selling the campus newspaper and, I mean, going through the ads in that newspaper, seeing, oh, a psychology student needs to test somebody to see why people like red M&Ms. I'll take that $50, whatever it is, to get the free cleanings from the dentist students. It's crazy. I mean, he almost blew his appendix once. And finally, it took Kirk Ferentz realizing, wow, this insane athlete at linebacker who stinks as a linebacker, let's put him at tight end and see what happens. And all those unbelievable traits deep within that indomitable drive, it just fit best at tight end. So, you know, the rest, right? Iowa lights it up. He changes the Indianapolis Colts' offense with Peyton Manning, takes a very good offense and makes it elite, historic. And as I was talking to Dallas Clark, it got to a point where we're just talking about life and whatnot. And he's like, yeah, I kind of went through a midlife crisis. And, you know, I just wanted to give back somehow. And I just kind of found out that, you know, you can raise a lot of money by competing in the Ironman competition. And figured, hey, let's back to the Children's Hospital in Iowa City. Let's try to raise $1 million for them. And why not? Let's try to raise $1 million for Peyton, the Children's Hospital that bears Peyton Manning's name. Him and Peyton Manning are still very, very close. So he decided to just train for an Ironman, right? It's a little bit of everything, throw himself into it, kind of bring it back to Iowa in a sense for what it was like to just scratch and claw and be anything on a football field. And as people can kind of research, I mean, he competed in the Ironman. I think he's already up to like a quarter million. So he is way of getting there. But this, if you're going to donate anything to any charity in the world, why not, right? A children's hospital through somebody like Dallas Clark, who just has a heart of gold.
Yeah, it's a very cool organization. I went and checked it out. Obviously, if you're watching this or you're listening, it's in the notes down below, the link that'll take you directly to the Project 44 page on Iron Man Foundation. But very cool organization. If you see his picture on there, he's super lean, right? It doesn't even look like he played tight end, yeah. Right? It's crazy looking when you look at that photo. It's like, holy crap, that dude really slimmed down. It's pretty wild.
Well, you know what? He says his metabolism is insane, by the way. That at night, Dallas Clark will just pound like a whole carton of ice cream and like he'll just burn it right off instantly. It's been like that his whole life. So he does trade his ass off, no doubt about it. Like he is right. He's an insane person in the weight room, but there's something else there at play, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's when I first saw it, I was like, holy crap, you know, because a lot of time you see a lot of these guys, they swell up, right? Or they some of them do keep it all right. But a lot of ex-NFL guys tend to get a little swole, right? So it's it was cool just to kind of see. But very cool organization. There's a bunch of different things you could find out over there, even if you want to be part of it. So head over to ironmanfoundation.org and take a look and check that out. Also, so everything that Tyler does is down below you in the links if you don't know where to find him already. But, you know, the GoLongTD.com thing, I think that's pretty incredible. You know, if you guys haven't checked that out, you really should. There's some swag that's available, you know, some things like that, you know, so stuff like that. So make sure you're checking out everything he's up to. But this book, when I started going through it, you know, it starts kind of in the olden days, you know, and we work towards the modern tight end. But it almost felt like reading the beginning of it, that like, it was shocking you found this many tight ends to talk to, because it seemed like when they played in the NFL back in the day, they were lucky to come out of the game alive, right? It kind of tells like a lot of like in-depth stories about just how intense it truly is to play in the NFL.
It really is. And you know what? I can kind of get both arguments for which era, if we're going to talk, you know, old timers versus modern day, you know, just to kind of simplify it. I get both arguments on which era is the tougher to play in, because today, yes, you do have, I mean, the biggest, fastest, strongest dudes on the planet. I mean, these, if you see a game live, especially from the sideline, it will blow your mind the angles at which these, you know, 250 pound, 8%, you know, 7% body fat, 4.4 speed, benching 30 reps at 225 athletes hit each other. It's scary. But, you know, those specimens didn't exist in the 60s in the age of Dicka, Mackey, Jackie Smith. But the rule book was also like as thin as a brochure. It was anything could go. I loved telling those war stories. I mean, you know, Mike Dicka reliving the rivalry with Ray Nitschke, you know, getting clotheslined across the middle of the field to Jackie Smith. I mean, he's really a track guy on the football field, you know, beating people with his legs. And he extended that tight end position in the passing game more than anybody knows. But he was a tough SOB too. I mean, he would stick up for his teammates by running directly on the field in street clothes when he's injured to try to get revenge for taking a cheap shot at Terry Metcalf. So it was just a lawless time. I mean, even in Ozzie Newsome, we don't think of him as a physical presence. He didn't really, he wasn't much of a blocker, but for him to put up the numbers he did and revolutionize the tight end position through the 70s and the 80s against, you know, the Donnie Shell and Mike Wagner's of the world, where, yeah, you're going to get concussed and nobody even really knows what a concussion is at that time. That you could say that's the toughest era. I get that argument. So, yeah, I'm not sure which is which, but George Kittle really got me thinking about that. Like, Kittle kind of pushed back on that narrative of, you know, this being a softer era of football when, I mean, just look at the people playing the sport now versus that in that lawless era, you know, some of these guys trying to tackle Mike Dicka look like they might be shoemakers, you know, Monday through Friday or doing something else.
Yeah, no, it's wild when you read about it. And if you love the game of football, I think even somebody like, you know, I'm in my 40s here now, but even going back and reading some of it and just thinking the position really came from just starting, like the first big move at the position was lining the end, not even the tight end, right? Lining the end up 3 yards off the line, right? Like that was the big, huge move, right? Like it's so crazy to think about that when you go back and you look at it, like that was the big move. Cause now these guys are running everywhere. They line up everywhere. They can be a running back, a wide receiver. They can be at all. Right. But and to Kittle's point a little bit, like when you read the Winslow pieces, so he's getting carried off the field, basically, like in between things. Right. So it's hard to not think that those guys had it a little bit harder, even though these dudes can run faster. They can bench more. They're hitting harder. They're protected better. But it was very cool to see. But I've gotten to hang out with you outside of this a little bit and hear kind of why this all came about. But like out of your whole trip here, I kind of just want to know, like, what was your favorite interview to do?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You know, it is so hard to narrow it down. I mean, every single conversation, visit just kind of blew my mind in a different way. I mean, Jackie Smith, and just seeing how, you know, one blip, one moment in time, one Super Bowl drop just affected his happiness in life for decades. It's chilling, it's gripping, and you just feel for him. That's right up there. Ben Coates, that 90s nostalgia. I think everybody in the old AFC East remembers Ben Coates just kind of stampeding through defenses, and to see the effects of all of that up close. He's hurting today, but he'll still throw that dip in the mouth and, you know, not regret one thing. He loved it. You know what I'll go with right now, though? It as amazing as Dicka was and Shockey, there's a reason he's on the cover of this book, because the stories around Jeremy Shockey just are incredible. The bar fights at the U, just being in the middle of all those scrums that turned into all out brawls and throwing punches with Ed Reed. He really brought the swagger back to the U after they lost it for a good 6-7 years. Jeremy Shockey brought it back. Let's go with Tony Gonzalez, because I think going into the conversation with Tony Gonzalez, we know the numbers. We know the accolades. We see him on TV a lot. There's been a documentary of A Football Life on Tony Gonzalez. There's been countless stories written on Tony Gonzalez, but you know, I'm thinking, okay, there's got to be something different. There's got to be something fresh. I really want this book to, I didn't want it to just be an anthology of like regurgitated information and stories. I wanted to just find fresh stories, fresh information, be at the cutting edge of why we love football, why football needs to be saved, and why these tight ends are the ones doing it and then showing us a hell of a lot about life and living our own life. And Tony Gonzalez is the one that just made every light bulb go off at once when we hung out, because, you know, there's so much to him that we don't know. I'm not sure people really know what his upbringing was like when he's getting bullied relentlessly as a young kid. You know, he calls himself a pussy. He says, I was scared of my own shadow. I'm scared of ghosts. I'm scared of heights. I'm scared of these bullies. I'm not standing up for myself. And it took really standing up for himself to these bullies to just start to turn that corner. You know, at his junior high graduation, he finally stands up, and then, you know, it's a hit and drill in high school. He's going against one of his buddies, the hardest hitter on the team. Boom. They lock horns like a couple of Rams. That's another breakthrough. But there were just so many moments where you kind of had to face a fear within that defined Tony Gonzalez to college, when he's, you know, he's living it up in Berkeley, partying too much, staring off at the airport and the planes going in and out at the top of Berkeley Hills, and it hits him like, snap out of it, like quit being afraid of failure. That was another moment. And it really leads up to the point of the book, and that's the evolution of this tight end position and how it saves football, where at the turn of the century, it was still kind of old school NFL. This was still a league that, you know, with systems on offense, systems on defense. If you're a player, you fit into what the coaches want you to do. Tony Gonzalez is just this, you know, 6'5", undersized, severely undersized power forward in basketball, you know, learning how to time up his rebounds and learning how to time up his jump shot against the Ed O'Bannons and Tim Thomas's and having success. But, you know, he wasn't going to be in the NBA because he was just too small. Well, you drop him onto a football field, look the hell out, because he's just physically dominant against anybody you try to guard him with. And yet the NFL didn't really see that. You know, his first offensive coordinator, Jimmy Ray, did. He moved Tony Gonzalez all over and got him the ball a lot. But it kind of shocked me to hear how he put up all these numbers in Kansas City, kind of in spite of how he was used after that, where Dick Vermeil and Trent Green come in, the greatest show on turf. Day one, Trent Green's just honest with Tony and says, look, you're not going to be putting up a lot of numbers in this offense. I hate to break it to you, Tony, but it's a wide receiver friendly offense. Well, hello, Kansas City, Dick Vermeil and Trent Green. Eddie Kennison and Johnny Borden aren't Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. So, right. You know, he put up good numbers, but it could have been historically amazing. And then, of course, they all leave and he's, you know, catching passes from Brody Croyle, Tyler Thigpen, Damon Heward. And I really think the climax of the book is when he does get traded to Atlanta, he's still at the peak of his powers. He still has a lot of game left because he takes so insanely good care of his body. The showdown with a name many people of this podcast will be familiar with, Mike Mularkey. So Mike Mularkey is as old school as it gets. A tight end is in line. I talked to Mularkey too. We get both sides. And Tony Gonzalez is new school. I mean, this is where the game's going. Right. You need to evolve. His comparison is, you know, the NBA, the 7-footers that were posted up on the block in the 90s, you know, backing you down like Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal, Lonzo Mourning. They gave way to the 7-footers like Kevin Durant who are hoisting 3-pointers. And he was really that force in football, forcing the NFL's hand. This is what you need to find. You need to find an athletic freak who busts games open from this position. And it led to an all-time clash with Mularkey. I mean, there was an arranged marriage that was doomed. Mularkey didn't really want Gonzalez. Gonzalez didn't know why Mularkey wanted to be there when he showed him clips of Mark Bruner, you know, busting people in line on film. Right. And it all came to a head, you know, at Tampa Bay week 17, Tony's on catch number 999 second half. And he says Mularkey completely iced him out, refused to call a play for him. Mularkey says he didn't know that he was chasing 1000 and inside the locker room after the game, if you're going to take Mularkey's word for it, it wasn't, you know, a near brawl, near fight, even though Mularkey said he was ready for that situation if it came to be. Tony says he had to be held back. He was ready to start throwing punches and take down the old man. So,
well, serious.
Back to the point, like I just feel like Tony Gonzalez going into that conversation, like I didn't know what to expect. I thought that maybe it'd be a lot of just regurgitated cliches and stories and things that he has said a million times over. And it wasn't that. I mean, he was engaged. He was all about the book, the project, and sharing his role in the evolution.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big, I think that's, you started seeing after that, right? Like that it changed everything. People started opening up their eyes and being like, oh, you know what? Maybe we should just put these guys where they can be put because they're actually really good and they're an advantage. Oh, imagine that. The tall dude that's 6'5" going up against a 5'10" cornerback or a linebacker that's just a little slower. Like, yeah. And now that's all we see, right? And now it's, You don't see anything else. There's probably not a tight end in the league that you could straight up just, like every team, I think every team just says we need a blocking tight end and we need a pass catching tight end, right? There's nobody really anymore that maybe a couple guys that you can have out there all the time that you can truly trust, but it's not what this thing was when the position was first developed for sure.
You're absolutely right. I think that right. It was immediately after Gonzalez and kind of, you know, as Gonzalez is doing his thing, really, Antonio Gates gets his shot, even though he didn't play it down at Kent State. Jimmy Graham is coveted, not just discovered by podcast co-host Jim Onis. He was the New Orleans Saints scout who scouted Jimmy Graham, which is wild that, you know, somebody I know is, you know, a part of this evolution too. But he is in demand. I mean, here's another nugget. As this is going on in 09, it would have been 09. So right when his basketball career wrapped up, Jimmy Graham, and he hasn't made the decision to play football at Miami yet and become that grad student that can switch sports. The New England Patriots reached out and actually put Jimmy Graham through a workout down in Florida. Matt Patricia led the workout because they could tell that this was a specimen with tight end potential. Right. I mean, he was a basketball player at the U, just dunking and blocking shots, and that was about it. But that just speaks to Belichick's genius, that he knew that this was somebody worth stashing on the practice squad for a year, developing. And they gave him that offer, according to Jimmy, that, hey, just come to New England, hang out with Tom Brady for a year on the practice squad, learn, and we'll use you down the road. And it took Jimmy Graham's knowledge of, you know, just his own athletic capabilities and really kind of buying into his ability to grow to say, you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. I'm gonna play football, but it's gonna be at Miami for a year. This tight end factory in itself,
right?
And then maybe I'll be a Patriot down the road. And oh shucks, the Patriots waited one round,
right,
too late, and ended up with Aaron Hernandez. So
thought they had everybody fooled. I mean, it worked like for a year or two, right? You know, so it wasn't that terrible. But yeah,
I mean Hernandez experience. Yeah, it was. You know,
on the football field, it seemed okay, and then everything off the field went south really quickly. But
it did. It did.
Shocking.
Can you imagine Gronk and Jimmy Graham though? That would have been something, huh?
That would have been dynamite, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. It's tough to say, right? Because then, and when he had that whole process going on, he had Randy Moss there at times. You had it would have been just ungodly, probably. I mean, imagine if you were trying to cover Graham, Gronk, and Moss all in the same thing, and then Edelman's sprinkled in there running around. They were already good. They didn't need all that anyway. But I want to get your opinion. Bills,
JP Losman, probably. They were Trent Edwards. They would have been fine.
Yeah, right. They would have been super fine. Thrown to Charles Clay after he was used up. But I want to get your opinion on some of that. So if you don't have the book already, you better go out and get it because it is a really good read. And if you want to know anything about the position of the tight end and just kind of see its development, it'll start clicking in your head because you'll start seeing it and you'll start realizing that you watched it take place, right? As you start reading the stories and you start seeing the names again. Because some of these guys, you kind of just like Kellen Winslow, I kind of forgot about him realistically, right? And then you think back about it and he was so friggin' good. But I know that you also have an intimate knowledge of the Buffalo Bills from, you know, covering the team. You got some Manos background in there feeding you all the way things used to go. I've been part of some of those conversations and things. But you've also spent some time in Green Bay. That's who Buffalo gets this week. You were there when they were kind of like really good, right? Or they had Aaron Rodgers in his kind of prime. He was doing his thing. Everything's working fine. Do you think they stand a chance against Buffalo now?
I'm not sure that's much of a chance, honestly. I think the Bills are going to stomp the Packers on Sunday. I think this is a Green Bay team spiraling toward disarray at a rapid rate. This is coming from somebody who predicted them to be in the Super Bowl. I thought that there was a formula post Devontae Adams for Green Bay, that this was a defense just loaded with first round picks. They take two just absolute mean, hard-hitting dogs from Georgia to add to the middle of their defense. Jair Alexander gets paid. He's a shutdown corner. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is really incorporate Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, run the ball, and do just enough in the passing game, get just enough in the fourth quarter from Aaron Rodgers, and hey, guess what? When you get into January, maybe you're not getting pushed around. Maybe you're the team dragging people into the back alley and playing violently, but I appear to be very wrong. this defense just is kind of average, and they're not running the ball, whether it's the play calling or Aaron changing stuff at the line of scrimmage. And Aaron Rodgers is a ordinary quarterback. He's average. I mean, he can blame everybody else all he wants. There doesn't seem to be much self-accountability there. Not surprising. Yeah. I don't know. I know there's a lot of drops, but he's also the richest player in the sport. $150 million. They expect more than losses to Daniel Jones, Zach Wilson, and Taylor Heineke.
Yeah, I mean, I think I came into the season thinking Green Bay would be fine. I think everybody came into the season thinking this matchup would be a primetime matchup. And now it's just kind of, you might just get to watch Josh Allen kill it again, right? Like, is it kind of what it feels like might happen? Because if you go and you look at the numbers, though, and you look at Green Bay's defense right now, they do have the number one pass defense. Then you go and look at who they played. Besides Kirk Cousins and Tom Brady, they have not faced a legit quarterback. And I wouldn't even call those guys legit at this point. I think they're, you know, kind of a little past the prime from what we've seen so far. So I thought Green Bay's defense would be the key for them like they were last year, but apparently they can't be on the field that much. And now we're seeing them on a field a lot more and they're exposed and they've got a quarterback who just doesn't seem to care. It's like, I was just like, I thought it was the dumbest move. Green Bay got played. Like they got played, I think. And I would have never thought they would get played because they're a very good franchise. They've proven to be very good, but there was clearly no backup plan of what was going to take place here. And they thought they'd be good without Adams and it's just not there. And now you're coming up against the Buffalo Bills. Today, we're seeing the reports that Lazard's probably going to be out. It's like, what is going to happen to the Green Bay Packers? Is it the demise like New England Patriots? The clip.
Hey, everybody. It could be. I mean, it could be precipitous. I think financially, whenever Aaron Rodgers does decide to retire, which could be after this season, I mean, they're in salary cap hell. I mean, even some of these other contracts they gave to players, I mean, they went all in on the now. And this is where me and my buddy Monas, we've disagreed on the podcast. He's like, look, if you've got the quarterback, if everybody doesn't have an Aaron Rodgers or is chasing an Aaron Rodgers, like you go all in, you just push all your chips in and go for it because jobs are always on the line. I get that logic. But 2 years ago, when he's holding the franchise hostage and you know you're dealing with a volatile, narcissistic, temperamental quarterback who is an all-time great, I'd never take away from his talent. He's unbelievably talented.
He's the MVP last year.
He's winning MVPs, right? He's winning back-to-back MVPs.
Yeah.
But still, like you know he's getting up there in age. You know that he's going to want some personnel power. There's going to be some unhappiness that you're going to have to deal with. There's a lot of that other stuff, you know, immunized and, you know, while trying to make everybody seem like he's vaccinated. I don't care if he is or not, but he was lying about it. You're going to be dealing with a lot of that other stuff sprinkled in. But outside of Tom Brady, what quarterbacks play well beyond 38, 39? Like, it just, it's Father Time is undefeated. You're going to lose some on your fastball. You're going to lose some athleticism. And that's what we see out of Aaron Rodgers. So why not, at the peak of his powers, do what Seattle did on freaking anabolic steroids? I mean, you could have got what, 3-4 first round picks,
probably
3 seconds, a package of players. Hell, John Gruden probably wanted Rodgers so bad. You could have brought Derek Carr to Green Bay and a few first rounders with them if you wanted. It was such a missed opportunity. It wouldn't have been popular. I get it. Right. There would have been pitchforks outside Lambeau Field. But guess what? Ted Thompson, he had the you know what to move on from Brett Favre. I mean, I was interning out there. Fans were pissed. I mean, at the stockholder meeting, I mean, they're coming up to Ted Thompson with petitions telling him to bring Brett Favre back. So Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, Mark Murphy, Green Bay, they kind of deserve this all right now because, hey, you went all in on Aaron Rodgers. So at this point, their best chance is being saved by Aaron Rodgers. Who knows? Maybe he finds, you know, the fountain of youth out of thin air and pulls a 2016 and has an epic run. You never know. I don't see it without the receivers.
Yeah, the pitchforks are going to be out soon anyways. If you go on a 4 or 5 game losing streak here and you're completely getting destroyed by Detroit Lions, you're falling into that realm. You're going to have major problems in Green Bay. Do you feel like they're wasting LaFleur here? Or do you think that this is going to be he's going to get caught up in this and he's never going to be able to recover as a head coach from this? Because, I mean, obviously it looks good what he's doing when he's this young guy coming in, right? If things are going well, but he does have Aaron Rodgers winning MVPs. So can he do it without Aaron Rodgers? Can he be that guy, right? So I feel like you might be wasting a great talented coach and you may never actually see it until he's an offensive coordinator at somebody else's building after you let him go. But what do you think? Are they wasting him?
They might be. I don't know if we know much about Matt LaFleur, which is crazy. He's been there a long time. I mean, he's a good coach. He's won a lot of games. You don't win that many games as a bad coach. I think we all can kind of assume safely that Aaron Rodgers is still kind of doing his thing at the line of scrimmage, often for better. He did with Mike McCarthy, and he's got autonomy in this offense, and he has a say not only in the game plan, but in personnel. They traded for his buddy Randall Cobb at you know, as he's kind of breaking down. So it's Aaron Rodgers' show, and that's where it gets in, right? I mean, in theory, Matt LaFleur could, you know, put his foot down and say, I'm the head coach. I run this team. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get Aaron Jones the ball 25 times a game. I don't care how, we're getting him the ball. But does he have the power to say that, to take charge? I mean, at his press conference this week after Aaron Rodgers was kind of pointing the finger at everybody else, you know, he quickly defended the quarterback and said, hey, it's kind of like when you get after your kids, I'm paraphrasing, and you know, you're going to get after your kids. So, well, if I'm a grown ass man in that locker room, I don't know if I like being compared to a child by my boss. Not sure if I like that too much. So there's a very interesting power dynamic at play right now. And who's in charge? Who knows? Right. I mean, Gutekunst drafted Jordan Love. Once upon a time, but since then has kind of mended everything with Aaron Rodgers, and who knows what he even really wants long term. Everybody reports to Mark Murphy, who's the de facto owner. It's kind of comes back to the quote that nobody was a fan of out at 1265 and in our Bleacher Report story, right? Mark Murphy telling Aaron, "Don't be the problem." So
there it is.
Right? That's what they don't want.
Well, I tell you, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with me. The book is phenomenal. This was going to be a little more of a deep dive into the Green Bay Bills when the season started, but now I just don't really think there's much to talk about other than Trey White's not coming back this week and the Buffalo Bills. I predicted yesterday, and I've put it everywhere, is pretty much I'm thinking like 34-13, somewhere in that realm, and it might be even north of that for the Bills. I'll give Green Bay some points early maybe, but after that I got them shutting them down. But while you're shutting down your evening tonight and enjoying the show here, make sure you guys head over to golongtdandtech.com and check out what Tyler's got going on over there. It's a lot of fun. You come hang out on some Fridays and stuff with everybody, talk football and learn some cool stories in the background. Make sure you're checking out the book for sure, because it is a really good read. Not plugging the guy because he's on the show. He's been here before, actually. So before he was an accomplished writer. Yeah, he was already an accomplished writer. But make sure you got anything else going on, Tyler, you want them to know about? I think everybody knows where you're at. The McKenzie Show. You got the show with Manos. You got anything else going on you want to shout out before we get you out of here?
You've blown ample smoke up you know what, Colt. So I thank you very much for serving as my hype man on everything I have going on. But yeah, golongtd.com. Would love it if people subscribed. You can just hop on the free list and give that a whirl and upgrade anytime to get all the stories and happy hour access and all that good stuff. And yeah, the Isaiah McKenzie Show, we're going to be up and running again. Gosh, the dates are at the site. They should be at the top of my head. I want to say in 2 weeks. So very soon we're back at it. And Isaiah never disappoints. He has just stories and laughs and authenticity for days. So that's a lot of fun for the Bills fans out there. It's at Mister's Bar and Lanes in East Aurora. If you want to hang out in person, Isaiah hangs after the show, just meets and greets everybody. And I'll definitely have many copies of this to sell in person and sign for you if you'd like to come on out. So thank you very much for everybody who does that.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, you get an opportunity to go out and catch a live show and hang out with Isaiah afterwards. If you're local to the area, make sure you're doing that. If you're not, sign up so you can catch the ones that are live and online when we're doing those, because those are fun too. Make sure you're following everything he's up to. Appreciate everybody that's been listening in and following the show. Hope you guys are enjoying it. Make sure you're subscribing. You're following everything Buffalo Rumblings is up to. And of course, go Bills.
Make sure you leave a review and subscribe so you never miss another episode. We'll see you next time. Leg out!
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.